For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear, a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. This is the word of God. May his name be praised. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to give you thanks. We want to give you praise. We want to give you honor because they all are rightly your due. Because, Lord, in the right time, you fashioned this earth. You fashioned man. You fashioned us. You fashioned this church. You fashioned all the people that are here. And you are the Lord even of this time which they are going through. And of all the time that they will live through. Even till eternity begins, our time with you begin. Lord, I pray that may your blessing be upon everybody as I preach. I pray what you have spoken to me, you will speak again with power to all these men and women, these children who have gathered to hear your word proclaim. Lord, may your word be very living and active, sharp as the two-edged sword, and pierce the hearts. To shake, to wake, to call people to you, to a holy living, and to achieve in this time what you desire, this church to achieve, these people to achieve. We are not ordinary people. We are bought by your blood. You have spilled your blood for us. We want to thank you, and we want to live a life which is worthy of this calling. So as we listen to your word, Lord, clothe me with your Holy Spirit. Clothe all these people with your Holy Spirit and fill us completely. Bring life today, we pray. And we ask this Jesus' worthy name. Amen. It is very good to be back. I've been away for a month. I've lived in 5 different cities over that time. I have changed 12 flights in that duration. Lived in many different homes, few different hotels. Spent a lot of time with children this time, in my home with my nephew, in Vinay's home with Vinay's nephew and niece. And I got to watch a lot of cartoon with them too. Seems to be Doraemon, he's quite popular these days. It's a Japanese cartoon, they love gadgets, so it's a cat robot, keeps coming up with a gadget for this guy he lives for, who gets into mischief of all kind. And I saw this one particular episode. And there was a time machine. And now, come on, time machine. Who doesn't get fascinated by it? There are popular novels made on time machine. There are movies. People always going back into the time to alter something. Sometimes it's Prince of Persia. He goes back into the past to alter the future so that his father won't die. And sometimes Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, he comes back onto the earth so that he can save the human race. Basically, people go back in time to fix something. I'm sure there might be things in your life that you would want to go back and fix. Maybe it was squandered study years, which you might have studied better. Or maybe you would have made a different career choice than what you have entered into. Maybe it would have been the way that you dealt with your parents, or maybe with a sibling, with a spouse, with a child of yours, that you don't feel great about it. And if you have it your way, you will get hold of that time machine and go back. Maybe you want to make up with a loved one who doesn't live anymore and passed away before you could make your peace with them. This morning we have had word of God read to us that there is a time for everything. There is a season for every activity. Now everyone experiences birth and death. And in the middle of that, there is infancy, there is childhood, the teenage years, those fabulous years. Then you get married. Then you have kids. You're a parent. Then parent years. Then you grow old. You lose your hair. Some lose it a little bit earlier than old. And you're different things. You do different things in all those different times. When you are an infant, you cry. You cry a lot to grab the attention of your parent. When you are a child, you run around a lot, carelessly, falling, tripping, getting bruises, getting marks on your body, which is not that bad altogether, because if you get lost, you have some identification marks so that you could be found later on. Married life, quite romantic life. You enjoy the wife of your youth, as the Bible says. Enjoy her, and she enjoys you. Then you have children. It becomes a little bit difficult to be a parent. You have to work hard to provide all the needs of your family. You become very responsible. And then they go off to university, get married off. You're by yourself. You grow old. You do a lot of fishing. Now, in each season, you can afford to do certain things, right? So you've done that. We don't expect a little baby, you know, to go fishing like an old man. Or even a married man fish that much because he has to work hard to provide for his family. Unless he's a fisherman, then he can fish as well. So there are different things you can afford to do in season. If you are old, you cannot go around running like a little child because you can break a bone and it will not heal for the rest of your life because the time is gone. If you didn't do it then, you cannot do it in this particular time. So there is a time and season for every activity. But chronological seasons, they are not the only kind of seasons in your life because we live in a world which is living. Everything else is living. It's very organic. Situations, they change. They present you with various sets of conditions, whether you are an infant, kind of home you were born in your childhood, the school that you went to, person you married, how you met them. Conditions, they fashion how you're going to live in the various seasons of your life. Because I have traveled a lot, I thought life is a little bit like driving a car or a truck, for those who are truckies here, a few truckies in our church. It takes you from one point to another point, and you go to another point, and you do what you are supposed to do. So I took flight, went to Venice Place, I did what I was supposed to do there at Venice Place, came back, came to my place, did something, went to Korea, did something, came here. Life is like that. It's a journey. You're moving constantly, but not in a car, but with time. One place to another, and different conditions they present you, and you have to live your life there. So I thought that you shouldn't turn up to Mount Rupehu wearing your rugby boots, and you shouldn't turn up on a rugby field wearing the skis, because no matter how much you want to do those things, that's not the right time. That's not the right season. That's not the right place. You do not go to Mr. India and order a porterhouse steak there. Nor do you go to Lone Star if you want a good chicken tikka masala. You come to Vinay. Because that's simply not the right place where you will get your desires satisfied. In the same way, here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2, it says that there is a time to plant and a time to uproot. Now, any farmer will tell you, we don't have many crop farmers, but we have some good gardeners amongst us. Mel is one of them. He'll tell you that certain kind of plants, they will do very well in certain season. So you plant them in certain season. We have plenty of dairy farmers in New Zealand, and we've got one sitting right here with us. Tim will tell you that you shouldn't be milking the cows, you know, just before calving season. You cannot go hard. You won't get anything. But you shouldn't start drying off your herd immediately after the calving, because that's the time to milk, that's the time to make money. That's what you are there for. So there is a time for every activity. Verse 3 says that there is even a time to kill. Now, somebody will say, wow, doesn't that contradict the Ten Commandments? It says you shall not kill. It doesn't. If a robber breaks into your home, and with a knife threatens to kill your wife and your little children, you should not be sitting idle. You should fight him. And if you have to protect your family, which is your God-given predicament, you might even have to kill that person. It is not wrong. When the Nazis, they are bent on obliterating a race from the face of earth, it is wrong to sit wearing bangles at home instead of fighting on the forefront, picking up arms. So there is a time. There is a time to kill. It is, in fact, a moral responsibility to oppose such evil. But if there is a time to kill, also there is a time to heal. It is not right to be vengeful upon a nation because they have lived a certain way in the past. If you live with the logic of tit for tat, then you get a Middle East where fighting never ceases, where Jews never stop hating the Muslims, Muslims never stop hating them. Goal of some of the country's life is just to obliterate that nation from the face of the earth. There is a time to heal, time to restore, not always fighting. Yet there is a time to tear down the evil systems, whether it be Nazi racism, whether it be Russian fascism, militant jihadism of our current day, which menaces our humanity. But also there is a time to lend support to the nations who have been destroyed, like what has happened in Afghanistan, what has happened in Iraq, to take away the dictators, the way the country line in ruins. America is pulling out the troops because economically it's not viable. But what about the moral responsibility? Leaving the country in more unstable hands. I'll let you think, what should be done? What should be your part to be played in that? Yet there is another kind of time to tear down things before you can build again. When the earthquake strikes Christchurch and leaves the iconic cathedral, which have been the face of Christchurch for so many years, becomes useless. You have to tear it down before you can begin building again. It becomes more personal when the liquefaction makes your homes unlivable, where all your memories are. But you cannot go on living there. It's time to tear them down too. As it says here, there is a time to be scattered. Literally, it was a time to be scattered for so many people in Christchurch. Scattered here, scattered there, because some people couldn't just take to be living on the shaky ground. But then there comes a time to rebuild the city. There's a time to tear down, and there's a time to rebuild. Sorrows and joy, they'll come. You will hear the joyful cries of the babies. You hear it in our church quite often. That's good, praise God. But then you will hear the painful silence of the dead when your loved ones, they pass away. You'll be dancing arms in arms one day, and the next day you'll be bidding farewell, sometimes not to see them ever again, knowing very surely that you will not be able to meet them again. These times are forced upon human beings. If you want to call it by nature, I'll say by God, because all dates, time, places, they've been ordained by him. And being a Christian is not a guarantee. Such kind of times will not come upon you. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're non-Christian, you'll face all these things. There are times in the life of, there are not that many young men and women amongst us. Usually, when the university is over, they're open, there are a lot more. There is time for you to fall in love. You know, you will find this prince or a princess at the time you think, and you will dream in your head, yes, she's the one, he's the one. You want to marry them, you want to grow old, you want to have kids. Unfortunately, the other person doesn't share the same predicament as yours. They're simply not interested. Or you would enter into a relationship thinking of great things in the future for you, but it turns out to be abusive, degenerative towards you, and even damaging you, destroying you. No matter how painful, time comes when you have to push them away. Emotionally, it's very difficult, but you have to pull up courage. Otherwise, it'll destroy you completely. But there are other times as well, good times, when God gives you the opportunity to restore what was broken, to forgive, time to patch up. They are good times, but make sure at that times the hurt that has been caused in the past doesn't prevent you from releasing forgiveness. Because unless and until you do that, the healing process wouldn't become. I know some of the wounds that some of you might carry, they're quite deep. I have received some wounds in my life. I have wounded some people. And it wasn't easy to seek forgiveness. It wasn't easy to release forgiveness sometimes. But unless and until you do that, there is a season for it. When the season comes, you shouldn't harden your heart. Release it. And let the healing begin. Some people here are seeking jobs. Very good. You have graduated now. You need to earn a living. You need to be established. Do it with all your might. You know, do not slack. You know, work hard on your CVs. Work hard on your research. Prepare a very nice covering letter. Do your best to get the job. Yes, pray very hard. But be very industrious in the way you go on about it. And once the Lord gives you a job, go and redeem that profession. It doesn't stop. There is a season for searching. But a time comes when you should stop searching. Sometimes we are pursuing a person that we want to be with. We have desired them for years. Our heart yearns for them in the night. But you know that it's never going to happen. But you do not want to abandon because somehow it affects your ego. It just wouldn't want you to let go. But a time comes when you should let go of things. The Bible says there is a time to let go. Let go of things. Don't hold on. Might not be a person, might be a pursuit, might be a career you are pursuing, might be a desire of yours, might be a hobby of yours, which has started to affect your family life, started to affect your kids, started to affect your spouse, even your health, your psyche. There is a time to abandon because these are destructive. You cannot pursuing hard. Learn when it is time to relinquish. Because there is a right time to do that. This passage also has to speak a little bit about tongue. Now, Bible has a lot to speak about tongue. It says like a raging fire, which destroys the whole forest. It is so little, but sets things on fire. It destroys families, destroys nations, destroy children. Learn to tame your tongue. Very difficult to tame it, but tame you must. You should know when not to speak. Don't give a wisdom to a drunkard, especially when he's very drunk, or a husband or a wife when they have had a very rough day at work and you want to give them a lot of reasoning. It wouldn't go down well. Probably not the right time. You'll piss them off a little bit more. Don't do that. Bible says, do not throw your pearls to pigs. So when somebody's like a pig wallowing in the mud, you do not go to them with wisdom. There is a time here that, okay, refrain. Maybe next morning would be a good time when the person is a little bit fresh. But there is a time when we must speak. When it is understood by everybody that we should remain silent about this, whether it is about a wrong practice at work, or whether it's a spouse or it's a father who has not been doing his job properly, the mother should stand up. That why are you an absent father? Don't be an absent parent. Even when he desires that, you shouldn't. There is a time to speak. And you should pull up all the courage and not remain quiet at that time. You must. You might suffer a loss of job. You might be fired. Extreme cases, you might be killed. Like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and there is Martin Luther King. But was it worth it? You remember those guys. Because they stood and opposed evil, while other good people, they stayed at their homes because they did not want to create a scene, did not want to get their own hands dirty. Lot of good people suffer because other good people, they remain silent. Would you speak up for the others in your workplace? Would you have the courage? It is not for a jellyfish, which is spineless, but it takes backbone to stand up against evil. Speak up. There might be a right time for some of you in your workplaces or somewhere where you need to speak up, not just for yourself or for someone else. All right, let's make it a little bit personal now. What time do you think is in your life right now? What season of all those seasons that we have talked about, which Bible talks about, are you going through? Is it time for you to stand up for something? Or is it time for you to relinquish, let go of something in your life? Is it time to tear down a relationship? Is it time to forgive and consider reconciliation with somebody? Is it time to let go of some habits that you have, that you have been inculcating for some time? Do it now, because now is the time to do those things. No time machine will take you back to this point of time. Now should be redeemed now. You know, we don't live in past, we don't live in future, we live in now. Now is a present from God. You should redeem it, every opportunity that comes your way. Learn from the Master. Learn from Lord Jesus Christ himself. His brothers, they wanted to go him to Jerusalem. Why are you sitting here in Nazareth? Nobody who wants to be a public figure sits here. Go, make yourself public. My time has not yet come. But for you, every time is right. His disciples, many of them wanted to make him a king forcefully. But he escaped because his time has not come. When he was preaching in the temple, he was proclaiming the good news. They wanted to push him down the wall and kill him. But he escaped. Let's say he pushed through the crowds and escaped because his time had not come. But when his time came, what did he say? The hour has come. What shall I say now? That this cup be taken away from me? No, for this very reason I have come. God, at the right time, in the right season, for this planet that he has created, sent his son, born of a virgin. Appointed time he died. Shut up behind a grave, but grave couldn't keep him. He broke forth from there, back to life. Met with people, ascended into heaven, from where he waits to come back and rule. Everything at the right time. And what he has left behind here is us lot. What does he want from you as a Christian who has been bought by the precious blood of Lord Jesus Christ? Lord came to Israelites who had the Torah, who had the law of God, or you can say he had the Bible, and they had the temple where the glory of the God lived. And he said to them, that ox knows its owner, donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Do you know your owner? Do you know your master's crib? Do you know? Do you understand? Do you know how to interpret this current time in which you are living as the Lord would have you interpret? Or he would have to come to you like he came to the Jews and said, you know how to interpret the signs in the sky and on the earth. How come you can't interpret this current time? Are you hearing his voice? Because if you want to interpret the time, you need to be hearing his voice. And Jesus says that my sheep hears my voice. What was the last time you heard his voice? Have you ever heard his voice? If you have never heard his voice, chances are you are still not saved. And a bad destiny awaits you. But if it was very, very long time ago, why was it? What happened? What are you too busy with? Should you not have spent time with him? This era is like no other era. The prophets were given the Holy Spirit, but not every Israelite was given it. It has been poured out to you so that the young men can see visions, old men can see dreams. On women and men alike, no distinction, so that there will be no Jew, no Gentile, no male, no female, no distinction made by God. Freely, to bring everything under him, and close to Him, redeemed. Jesus Christ bought precious access for you by His blood so that you can come to God. What are you doing if you're not hearing anything from Him with this, all these precious access that He has? Do you know your Master? Do you know your Maker? Do you know what does He expect of you? Do you know why He has saved you? You in particular? No, not your friends, not in general, you. What He would have you do, I cannot tell you. There are some things that you need to listen from the Masters. If you haven't gone into your closet, you need to start going back into your closet. He will not hide anything. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. And if you desire Him, isn't that what He desired? That you love Him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength? And if you come to Him, why would He turn you away, dear children? Now is the time. We should pray. We should come to Him. Seek how we can advance the kingdom of God here at Christ Century. Some of you have lately joined the church. Some of you a couple of years ago, a year ago. Some have been here from the beginning. What would He have you do for Christ Century to fulfill the Great Commission here in the city of Palmerston North and beyond? I can't tell you. But surely He would have you something do. Because think of our witness as Christ Century. We all think quite well of ourselves, I know. But what would Jesus Christ say of the way that we are living out the gospel here in our city, the way we are reaching out the unsaved? Would He come down tonight and say, well done, faithful servants, Christ Century? Or would He shake His head in pity? I would let you think that. How about your own personal life? Would He come down tonight to you in your dream and say, hey, well done, faithful servant, you're doing really well. I'm so proud of you. Or would He say, what are you doing? Why are you wasting this precious life that I've given you? See, the kingdom of God does not advance by human might, does it? Otherwise, He wouldn't have said that not by power, not by might, but by My Spirit. And then He freely poured it out. And Jesus said, how much more you, though you know you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will He give Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Would He not give us if you ask Him? He has freely poured it out and desires to give you more so that you can be in tune with Him and achieve His plans, His purposes here in the city of Palmerston North. You have many opportunities which will simply go wasted if you did not spend time with your Maker. So let us live lives worthy of our calling. At least we can begin by praying. Right? Pray, hear, and obey. Simple as that. Pray, hear, and obey. Figure out, along with the Lord, what is this season, what is this time in your life, and He will show you. Don't let this moment go. Let us pray. Father, Lord, You are good. Your plans, they cannot be thwarted. The gates of hell, they will not prevail against You. Lord Jesus, You will build Your church. And what You open for it, nobody will be able to shut. We want to thank You for the salvation for every single person in this room. Father, if somebody has heard Your voice for the first time, may their heart be softened. May they come to know You. May they give their lives to You too. Father, I pray for all of us. Lord, none of us are perfect. We all fall short on many counts. But Lord, give us a desire not to fall short, but a desire to know You, not like the church that You rebuked, that I know You, You have a reputation of being alive, but You are dead. Repent Otherwise, I'll come and remove your lampstand before my father. Do the things that you did first. Have the same love if you had first. Father, I pray that will be restored if that is not in us. And I pray for your fire to be upon this church, to be your witness in our city, and to go beyond. Thank you for the missionaries that you have given us. Thank you for the privilege of being able to send them out. May you will, O Lord, there'll be one in every country from Christ's century. Father, may your plans for this church be fulfilled. May your plans for all my brothers and sisters be fulfilled. May they grow in the fullness of Christ Jesus in complete maturity. May their lives be transformed, whichever area requires transforming. I can't do it. You alone will do it. And you are able to do it. You desire to do it. So do it, we all ask together. And we ask you in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Come, Graham and team.